Welcome to The Patriot, 1776. Hi, this is John Mady, and I am the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. And who is the Patriot of 1776? You are, and I am, and so is everyone who loves America and wants to follow the principles of our founding fathers. The last sentence of the Declaration of Independence reads like this: "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If it had not been for the Patriots of 1776, we would still be paying taxes to England and drinking a spot of tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Help us win back America now, just like the Patriots of 1776 won America in the first place. You should take notes and use your Bible. We will give you our mailing address later. Well, a very Merry Christmas on this Christmas Day, and many, many Christmas memories for you. I remember when I was a child how we had all of the aunts and uncles and the grandkids together, and just always had a good time, except that I was the oldest grandchild. And of course, if anything went wrong with the grandkids playing by themselves, it was my fault. However, outside of that, I was very, very pleased and very happy for all the great, great memories that I had with my family. It would be helpful for you today to take some notes. We're going to talk about the Star of Bethlehem. There is a lot of material that we will cover, and we'll cover as much as we can. It's the very first thing is that there is a 67-minute video on YouTube called The Star of Bethlehem Documentary. And if you were to look at that, you would learn a lot. It's amazing how the Bible and science are together. So many times the world wants to take science and say, oh, science is above the Bible. But we have to remember, science comes from God. And the Bible tells a lot of science. And many, many times when the world tells us about science, they get it wrong. And the Bible says something different, and they laugh at the Bible. And when they do discover what the right way is, and they discover that it matches up with the Bible, they don't say anything. So today, I'd like for you to look at that documentary. And the name of the documentary is The Star of Bethlehem Documentary. And you'll find it on YouTube. I have a copy of my own, and in our church, we watch that every Christmas. And so we're going to begin today with this Christmas day and talk about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so from Genesis 1:1, we're going to go over to John 1:1 and read a couple of verses there. Beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And as you study God's Word, and as you continue through John chapter 1, and you read over in Revelation chapter 19, you'll find out that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's read those three verses again, knowing that the Word is Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And then when we go down to verse 14, in those three verses, we find out that those three verses coincide with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what does it say in verse 3 of John 1? All things were made by him, by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's rather interesting. We go back into the Old Testament again, and we find out in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And Ephratah is another name for Bethlehem. And it's amazing when we read this story of the birth of Christ. There are two stories about it, and one is in Luke chapter 2, and the other is in Matthew chapter 2. The one in Luke 2 is about the shepherds, and the one in Matthew 2 is about the wise men. And so in Luke 2, when we talk about the shepherds, it's interesting to note that Bethlehem is just 6 miles from Jerusalem. And then when we talk about the shepherds were raising sheep, and those sheep were sacrificed in the temple. And isn't it amazing that Jesus was born just 6 miles from Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified? So the sheep were born and raised outside of Jerusalem. And I'm not going to read all of Matthew 2 right now, and we're not going to read Luke 2 either, but just to be telling you about some of these things, and I want us to see some of the things that go on around the birth of Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, it talks about the wise men, and the wise men came from Babylon. Let's point something else out. I want to point something out in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds had nothing to do with the star. The shepherds were approached by the angels. Now the shepherds were just a few miles. They were between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and they were just a few miles from Bethlehem. Now, that's in Luke 2. In Matthew 2, the wise men, what we know about the wise men, that they came from the east, and we really don't know who they are. Now, the only thing that we can figure is, why would lost people be so interested in the birth of Christ? Why would lost people so be interested in the birth of the King of Israel? And so when you think about it, and you think about these wise men that came from the east, and they saw the star in the east, you just have to wonder, well, who were they? And what I'm thinking is that they were Jews. Probably, and this is just guessing, but in 605 BC, Babylon attacked and invaded Jerusalem. And Daniel wrote his book in 535 BC about the 70-year during the 70-year captivity of the Jews, and it was right at the end. The captivity was ending about the time that Daniel was writing his book. Now, there were two or three generations that were in Babylon, and what I'm thinking is that there were a lot of those Jews that stayed there and didn't go back to Jerusalem. And so, when they saw the star in the east, these were probably priests. And these priests were Jews who were had thought about the homeland, had thought about Jerusalem. They were 700 miles away. That's why the shepherds didn't need a star. They were just a couple of miles away. But the wise men were about 700 miles from Jerusalem. That's about how far Babylon is from Jerusalem. And so they were probably the ones that followed the star. And isn't it amazing that the star stopped in Jerusalem first? And then they talked to King Herod. And then they went on to Bethlehem. And they found the Lord Jesus. It's interesting in the book of Galatians that we read in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And so it tells us here that the fullness of time, there was an exact time that the Lord Jesus was to be born. And he was born under the law. Now, it's really interesting about the exact time. And it's really interesting about the star that the wise men followed. If you take a look at Job 9:9, it says, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Plutus, and the chambers of the south. And what it's talking about is these three bodies are bodies of stars, and they were constellations, and we know them today. Now, Job was probably a book that was written around the same time as Genesis. There's really a lot of controversy on this, and I wouldn't be dogmatic about saying that it was the first. It seems from everything that surrounds it that it was written about the same time. But no one knows for sure. There's just a lot of controversy about it. But Job was written about 1500 B.C. This was about the same time as the books of Moses. And why is this so important? What difference does it make? The difference is this. Because it wasn't until the 1600s when Johannes Kepler made the star maps and the planetary motions. Now, this was the 1600s, and those books were written, Job was written, in about the 1500 B.C. And so, 3,000 years later, man is discovering of the possibility of a star that went from Babylon to Jerusalem. Now, Johannes Kepler made the star maps and the planetary motions, and these are maps that are still used today among our scientists and in astronomy. In Isaiah 40, verse 22, it says that it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And of course we know that in the late 1400s, 1492, when Columbus was going to sail to America, he had kind of a difficult time trying to get sailors to go with him, because he said he was going to start sailing and he wasn't going to quit until he came to land. And at that time, in the late 1400s, people knew that the earth was flat and that Christopher Columbus was just going to sail out and fall off the end of the earth. But God told us in the 1500s about the circle of the earth. And then in Isaiah 40:26, it says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And what it's talking about when it says, bringeth out their host by number, he's talking about the stars. And so this man that's going around selling the name of stars, he's stealing God's stars and renaming them. He better be careful. But anyway, let's go on. So now in Psalm 19:1, listen to what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth, as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Rather interesting how that the heavens declare the glory of God, and how the stars speak. You know, they're trying to find people from other planets and other universes, and they're hearing music out there, and they have no idea that it's God's stars that are singing. They have no idea that God's stars uttereth speech. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, planet earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And they don't even know it. They don't even understand it. And yet, there it is. All right, let's go on. The Colossians in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him, speaking of Jesus, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So it's rather interesting, the last phrase. The first phrase, let's start with that one. For by him were all things created. And in verse 17 it says, and he is before all things. There was nothing that was here until he created them. And then the last part of verse 17, and by him all things consist. When it says, and by him all things consist, it's simply talking about science. It's talking about that if the sun were any closer, the earth would be baked. We would be baked. And if the sun were any further away, we would freeze to death. It wouldn't take long. He has the sun to come so close. He has the sun to go so far away. And everything travels around. All the planets travel around. All the stars stay in place. Everything is the way that God wants it to be. All the universes, all the stars, we can't even number them all. And yet, they're all out there. God put them there. He put them in a certain place, and he makes them stay where he puts them. He makes them do the things that he wants them to do. And so, by him, all things consist. And so, I'd like to just go back now, before we do some reading in the two chapters, in Luke and Matthew, I'd like to go back and repeat the name of that documentary that we were talking about. And that documentary is a 67-minute video, and you can get it on YouTube. And like I mentioned before, we have a copy of this DVD, and we play it every year in our church, and every year it is just as exciting because you see it fresh and you find out how great that God is. And it's a 67-minute video. The name of it is The Star of Bethlehem Documentary. So you can take a look at it. It's a 67-minute video, and then you can order it and let the people in your church to watch it. It's really great. All right, now let's go over to Luke 22, and let's read the Christmas story. And we'll read the first 22 verses. Now, this is the Christmas story, and it's according to the shepherds. And so in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I'd like to be able to read Matthew 2, but I don't think that we have enough time. But I would like to share a couple of other things with you. Now, it told us in Galatians 4:4, Now when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When it says the fullness of time, this is something for us to know, that Jesus was born at the exact second that God the Father wanted him to be born. That's an amazing thing. It's also an amazing thing that when Daniel, in around 535 BC, that Daniel wrote that when the commandment would go forth to rebuild the temple and the city, that 483 years after that, to the day, that Christ would enter into the city of Jerusalem. And that's an amazing thing. You can get a book that's written by Sir Robert Anderson that talks about that exact date, that the commandment went forth in 445 B.C. And the exact day, 173,000 and some days later, that Jesus rode through the east gate of Jerusalem to be accepted as the King of Israel. And so that was an exact date. And it's also interesting, too, that back in Genesis 3:15, it tells us the first time that Christ was told about, that the Messiah was mentioned. And I'm turning there now. I'm getting there as quick as I can. There it is. Okay. And it says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That is the first prophecy that tells that Christ would be a virgin birth. It says her seed. That's the indication of the virgin birth, because the seed comes from the man. And so when it says her seed, it's talking about she's going to be have a son without the help of a man. And Matthew, it tells us in Luke, it tells us that when Mary was talking to the angel told her that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and you shall be with child. And so things happen exactly the way God wants them to. And these dates are so interesting. This is why when men want to study God's word in order to make fun of it, normally what happens is they find out that it's true. And on this Christmas Day, I hope that you remember everything that's going on concerning God's word, because we're on the side of truth. God has written this book for us. It's the greatest, second greatest gift that God gave to us. The first greatest gift is his salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second greatest gift is his word, so that we could know how to worship him. That's why we ought to study it. That's why we ought to read it. And that's why we ought to pay attention to it, because it is a book that was written by God. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye now. So comes the end of today's message. We appreciate so much that you spent time to be with us. If you enjoy our program, would you please take time to send us any questions you might have, along with a love offering of any amount? And if you send at least $25, we will send you a 92-page book, When Good Men Do Nothing, Who Will Speak? Our address is The Patriot, 1776, at 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Again, The Patriot, 1776. The address is 14505 Nathan Hale Lane, North Fort Myers, Florida, 33917. Talk to you again next time. Goodbye now.